Well, we're turning to Mark's Gospel in chapter 5. Mark and chapter 5. I'll just read from verse 18. The previous part is about the demoniac of the Gadarenes. So from verse 18 it says, and this is when he, that is Jesus, was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is, being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. We thank the Lord for this reading of his word. Let's bow our heads again in prayer. Now, Father, we ask that thou would speak to us this day to encourage us in the way. We pray, Lord, that these words might be used of thee in our hearts, that we might be strengthened. And Lord, that we might know the root and the power of the matter of the gospel within our souls, that we might not be blown about by any wind of doctrine or shaken by that which goeth on around us. But Lord, that we might know thy presence in our midst. Hear us then, we ask thee, and continue with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to think about these words here, and particularly about Jairus and his daughter. We just touched on last time the fact that this has a connection somewhat... laterally thinking concerning the thoughts of the parable of the sower, and we were considering how that where the seed was sown on the wayside is something like that which occurred in the demoniac of the Gadarenes, because here was one who where the word was sown, but he had many devils, and there were many things to take away that word from his mind. And the people of the world, of course, have many devils, not necessarily actual devils of the spiritual kind, but devils in the fact of the very many distractions that there are in this world. And we know that the Apostle Paul calls this world the present evil world. It is evil because of the sin which is in it. It is evil because we war against principalities and against powers and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And who knows how much of what goes on around us is demonic. And although people may not be necessarily possessed of devils, yet there is certainly that which is concerning sin and corruption and uncleanness which surrounds us, and it takes many people's minds. And so the word is sown, and straight away the Satan cometh and immediately taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The second of these grounds, of course, then was the stony ground. And it occurs to me that once again there is something to be said here, obliquely though it may be, of Jairus as being a prime candidate for this stony ground. We find this man who comes for a deliverance for his daughter. We find that the woman comes in the midst who had the issue of blood and distracts the Saviour from the cause which he was following. And it might easily have been, if he had no root in himself, that he would give up and go away. And yet the Lord overcame. And the issue that I'm saying here is that these grounds of the wayside and the stony ground and the thorny ground and the good ground, they are set before us as being particular kinds of soil into which the seed of the word comes. And when we spread that gospel, there are many who, well, they just turn out in this way, but it's not necessarily so. And we can look sometimes and think, well, what's the point? What's the point of preaching the gospel when the gospel doesn't take root anywhere and we don't see great things going on? And the point then of this message is that the Lord is able to overcome, even if those grounds are the grounds that we see and we are expecting. We look and we think, well, what is the hope for this person who seems so much taken up with the world and the demonic attitudes, the evil of the world? And they're not going to listen to the gospel. Straightway, the devil will come and take the word out of their minds, and they won't listen, they won't hear, and there will be nothing come. And yet, the demoniac of the Gadarenes is healed. Jesus Christ casts the devils out, and he receives the word in so much that the people who are around him say, get out of our country, we don't want you here. And the man himself says, but can I come with you? I want to stay with you. I want to walk with you. And I want to know the presence of the Lord. And that's amazing, isn't it? That this man who seemed for all the world to be that wayside was the man who was saved. And the wayside turned out to be the people who were around him, even though he stayed and preached to them, and all men did marvel. And so the same thing happens here. Here is a man who could so easily be that one who is the stony ground. And so he, anon with joy, receives the word. So I want to think about this under four headings this morning. First of all, that this man comes hoping joyfully for his daughter's deliverance. So he comes anon with joy, we might use those words. Those who have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. And here he comes and he receives the word with gladness. Here his daughter is at the point of death. What is he to do? What do we do when somebody is at the point of death? When there is no help, when there is no cure, when there is no hope for us. And this man, all of a sudden, hears or has already heard and encourages himself that Jesus is in the vicinity, and that Jesus has healed people before, and that Jesus has done so much healing that if he comes to Jesus, here will be the answer to his problem of the death of his child. It's interesting to note, I think, that very often that which brings a person to Christ in the first place is something to do with this world. Very often that which draws them to Christ is not the need of their salvation or of the horrors which lay before their soul, but something which is wrong in this world. People who are cast down, people who have problems, people who need something and they don't know quite what it is, who come to Jesus. And this man seems the same. He's not coming there to be saved. He is not saying, "Lord, save my soul. What must I do to be saved?" But he is coming to the Lord and he says, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and that she shall live." So it's a physical thing that he is looking for, isn't it? It's a thing of this world. It is something which will be a blessing in this world. He doesn't want his daughter to die. He has a connection to his daughter. He's not concerned for his soul at this point. He is concerned for her soul in the fact that it's her life. But again, you see, so often the spiritual aspect of our walk with God is not our consideration. It is what we can get from God, how he can bless us, and bless us not spiritually, but bless us carnally. Bless us in this world, what we can gain, whether we can get more money, whether we can afford this or we can afford that, whether we can relax on a holiday or whatever else it may be. Those are the things which so often people are looking for, and they come into the church expecting those things, but God does not offer those things. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." But what things does he say there in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount? It is that we be clothed, that we be fed, that the Lord will care for us, and he will watch over us and keep us in this world. But he doesn't promise us riches. He doesn't promise us that we'll win the lottery or we'll have this particular car or this particular job or any other kind of a thing. He seeks us to seek him. And we need to remember that. Now, the Lord may add those other things to us, but our primary desire needs to be to love the Lord and to know the Lord and to know salvation. So this man comes, and anon with joy, he receives the word that Jesus is able to save. He is able to heal. And he comes and he beseeches the Lord to come and to heal his daughter. So this is the starting point then. Just as the scripture says, this stony ground, the seed has fallen, the word has come. It has come to his mind, come to his attention that this is the answer, that this is probably the only answer. And so he comes and he cries out to the Lord to heal his daughter. But secondly, we see that when he does this, he is hindered by the very gospel or the good news that he sought. Because the word that he has come to him, that he might see the healing of his daughter by the hands of Jesus Christ, has also come to this woman. And we see what it says there in verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Jesus went with him. And so he started off so well. Here he has come to Jesus. He has got to Jesus. He has come into the presence of Jesus. He has been able to bring his petition before Jesus. He has prayed, as it were, to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is coming with him. It's just all working out perfectly for him. And so he has received the word, and on with joy he has received it. He is pleased that it's all working the way it ought to. And God is really with him, and he is really blessing him. And so many will come into a church, and perhaps they have heard the word, and people have gathered around them and encouraged them, and they have known the blessing, and they have gone on for a time under that joy that there is a blessing around them and a congregation of people, and they enjoy the music and they enjoy the fellowship and the communion of the people. Jesus is going with them. But as I say, he is hindered by the very gospel he sought, because here is a woman who comes up just as Jesus is going to heal his daughter, and she touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus stops going to heal his daughter. Jesus stops in the middle of the crowd and asks this ridiculous question, even as the disciples considered it to be, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? It's a ridiculous question. And you see, that it could so easily have been that at that point that Jairus would think to himself, this man's crazy. I mean, just as the disciples asked that same question, he could have thought, why would you ask that when there are people surrounding you and everybody's touching your clothes? Why would you ask such a question? Why are you not hurrying to my aid? Why are you not doing what I've asked you to do? You started to come with me, and now you've stopped in the middle of this great big crowd trying to find someone who touched your clothes. It's just ridiculous. And at that point, it could so easily have been that this man would say, well, this is going to be pointless. If he's asking questions like that, then this is going to be pointless. What is the purpose of asking him? And now he's stopped. My daughter is at the point of death. She is about to die. It says there, these are his words to the Jesus. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. At the point of death. And it transpires, of course, in verse 35, that the servants come from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? So he was right. He wasn't making this up. His daughter was at the point of death, and Jesus has delayed. Jesus has just stopped, and he's asking a silly question. Who touched my clothes? And he stands there waiting and looks around to find the person who touched his clothes in this great multitude of people who were thronging him. How easily then could this man, who has no real depth of earth to him because he's only just come into contact with Jesus, how easily might this man have just given up at that point and thought, well, this is not going to work out. And there are so many who go along to a church and perhaps they've joined in and they've enjoyed the fellowship, but then somebody offends them or somebody doesn't talk to them or something has happened within that fellowship and they say, well, I'm not going back there. And they go off and there is no depth to them. There is no root. I remember my uncle saying to me once about someone who said, I think that young man has the root of the matter. Has the root of the matter. In other words, he understood what the gospel was. He understood the Lord. He desired the Lord. It was something more than just a passing fad. It was something more than just going to church because that's what you do, or going to church because the music's good. He had the root of the matter. This man, did he have the root of the matter? How easy it would be to be hindered. People are put off so easily because things don't work out perfectly and exactly as they expect first time. And they are not willing to wait for the Lord. They're not willing to put their trust wholly in the Lord, to cast their all upon the Lord. And of course it is for the gospel's sake. You see there in verse 17 of chapter 4, which is from the parable, it says, for verse 16 and 17 really, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. For the word's sake. Affliction or persecution. Now, as I say, this is kind of an oblique take on this, but it is true that this was an affliction for the word's sake. It was because the word went out to someone else apart from him that Jesus stopped. And that can happen, can't it? In a congregation of people, we can be offended by someone who perhaps has come in or someone who's already been there, and it's for the word's sake. They've believed too, but perhaps there's some connection which is not happening between two people. One of them with no depth in themselves, who are not looking to the Lord, not trusting in the Lord, not coming actually into church to worship the Lord, are offended and they go away. There's no depth, there's no root in themselves. This man could so easily have left at that point.
And then, of course, on top of this, here is this devastating news. He is hailed with this devastating news in verse 35. While he yet spake, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So this woman's been healed. Jesus stopped to heal this woman. But while he was yet speaking, someone comes from his house and says, but your daughter is dead. Jesus has been kind, he has been gracious. But in such a circumstance, do we really consider what the Lord has done for someone else? Or do we only consider what the Lord hasn't done for us? The Lord has blessed them, but not blessed us. And again, so easily, while Jesus is speaking, and this man hears this news. And not just so, but the temptation also, or this suggestion to him. Now remember, the devil will come with suggestions to us. But the suggestion comes to him, why troublest thou the master any further? It's a sneaky thing which is being said here as well, isn't it? Why troublest thou the master further? In other words, well, you know, you have come, you have trusted, but you don't want to trouble him. We can make, even in the congregation of people, and say, well, I'll just remove myself. I don't want to cause any trouble. Well, really, the thought and upon our mind should be further prayer. Further prayer. But it is Jesus who makes the move here. It is not this man saying to Jesus, well, I've just heard that my daughter is dead, but even now I believe that thou art able to raise her from the dead. He doesn't say that. And there are some who have said that to the Lord Jesus. Even now, you can still heal him. Remember Mary and Martha, when, if thou hadst been here, and there is this trust which might have been there, but it's not coming from him, but Jesus, once again. Remember what I said at the beginning. The thought here is that there is this stony ground, there is this lack of earth, but Christ is able to overcome even that situation. Where the demoniac had the word so easily taken from him, Jesus didn't allow it to be taken, but took away the devils instead, so the word could stay. And here, this man who could so easily have departed because Jesus was hindered by the very gospel that had brought him in the first place, and he had been hailed with this devastating news, yet Jesus, in verse 36, we read, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. And are these words not so important to us? Be not afraid, only believe. So he goes with him, even yet. His daughter is dead. And now he is really called upon to have faith. He came with joy, and on with joy he received it. He comes praying and beseeching the Lord that he would come and heal his daughter that she might not die. Now she is dead, but Jesus is still coming with him. And he comes to the house. And we find then that when he comes to the house, verse 38, he seeth a tumult, them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. If there was anything that could cause this man to give up at this point from a lack of a depth of earth, surely he might so easily have given up at this point. Nobody believes this. This is nonsense. And I've already seen something which seemed to be nonsense to me, and that was asking who touched me in a crowd. Although, of course, the woman did come forward and said what had happened, and Jesus spoken to her. So even yet, there are these encouragements to our faith. that we might trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the most dire of circumstances, that he is able out of nothing to produce something. And here he comes and he says, she is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. They knew that she was dead. And so he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel. And so this man comes with him. And the mother also, his wife comes with him. And he took the damsel by the hand, verse 41, and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So here is this man, he is helped by the sovereign grace of God, the sovereign grace of Jesus Christ as he comes into this house. He stands and he says, be not afraid, only believe. And so whatever our situation, and we might think that our situation is similar to this, that everything seems to be against us, yet there is nothing that can be against us if the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. If God be for us, it's our memory verse Friday night, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the Lord Jesus, he may have delayed. And of course, there would be a greater delay later on when it came to Lazarus, even 4 days on that occasion. But here, although there's a delay, it's not too late. It's never too late for God. There are so many instances throughout the scripture, aren't there, where people thought it was too late. The people were with Moses at the side of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were coming up behind them, and there was nowhere for them to go. It was too late. There was nothing for them to do, and God opens a way in the sea. And not only is it a way that they might travel and escape, but it is a way which destroys their enemies. It is a perfect way. And the Lord again and again delivers just at the last moment. So he says to us, be not afraid, only believe. And though we may be laughed to scorn, yet the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly more than we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So his sovereign grace of God, once again, over whatever circumstance it is, whether it be the devil or the Satan taking away the word so that it is not even understood or thought upon, Jesus is able to save in that circumstance. He can still cast out the devils rather than the word, that the word might grow. When it comes to that seed which is sown on the stony ground, he can remove the stone rather than the word. And he is victorious in every situation. Oh, that we might take these words and write them upon our hearts this day. Be not afraid, only believe. And the Lord Jesus Christ bless us with such a faith. May the Lord bless us this day. Let's bow our heads again in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, that this man, Jairus, was able to come to thee, and Lord, although his expectations weren't fulfilled, yet the final outcome was greater than even that which he expected. For not only was this girl healed, but she was raised from the dead, and they marveled. Lord, we thank thee that thou art able to do, as we have said, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think or comprehend, according to the power that worketh in us. And so, Father, we pray that thou wouldst help us also not to be afraid, but only believe. And we trust that thou wouldst go with us as we look unto thee, who art the author and the finisher of our faith, that we, for the joy set before us,
might endure the cross, despise the shame, that we also might sit down with him in his throne in the presence of the Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.